Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Get it. We have it so good here. Nope, that's not lost on me. How amazing it is to live in this country.
I would like to keep it that
way. I'm grateful for it every day.
I want to keep it really good here.
What's more magnanimous is like saying, everybody come here and take my thing that's beautiful and amazing and make it garbage? Or what if we stayed beautiful and amazing and helped everybody else go from garbage to at least not garbage? Mm-hmm. Which one is better? You know? Obviously the second one, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that immigrants are garbage, but overall, like lowering the ability of a country to be excellent because you're being weighed down through taxation or like all the tax money that's going to these people and all of the government services that have to be provided to these people and all of the jobs that are being stolen from people who actually live here and all the homes that are being taken away from people that actually live here. Like these are all recipes for causing a nation to decline. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that is restricted to cruising altitude at 35,000 feet. Please keep your hands and feet inside the seatbelt on. Your steward is going to come by and give you some way too small cookies and half of a can of Coke. I'm your pilot, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Dude, you can just ask for the can and they'll give it to
you. I got the can for the first time the other day.
You can just ask.
Can I have the can? I was watching The Dark Knight, and I was like, you know what would be so good with this? At 10:30 p.m. at 30,000 feet in row 23 by myself.
Yeah,
can of Coke.
Yeah, dude.
I say to the lady, I says, can I get a whole can? She's like, I got you. She hands me the can. I drain it.
You can just ask for the can.
You can just do things, guys. You can watch The Dark Knight on the plane at 30,000 feet and drink a whole can of Coke.
It's true.
And I didn't get delayed in Charlotte. I had PTSD from the last time I flew into Charlotte, which was when we were coming back from the Holy Land, and I was so nervous because there's all these alerts on the American Airlines app that's like travel alert, and it's a big scary orange bar, and it's like your trip may be canceled. You might never make it home. We're here to make your life miserable. And then it was smooth. It was clear skies. It was smooth sailing. I had old mustached white pilots.
Nice.
All was as it should have been. And now I'm home.
Welcome home.
I was in Florida. I didn't even see you. Isn't that sad?
I love the part. I know. It's crazy that you were in Florida and you didn't see me. I love the part. I personally love the part of the flight where the pilot says, please keep your hands and feet inside the plane at all times.
Yeah. Because you
got to say that on Alaska Airlines, though, right? You know what I mean? He'd be like, hey, if the door flies off, please keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle.
You wouldn't want to get those out there.
No, you would not.
At altitude, it's kind of like when you go out in space, mm-hmm. and it sucks your skin off, your bones. It's kind of like that, but it's not as bad.
Because your body is trying to fill up
mm-hmm.
space with itself.
Well, it's not the humidity, it's the altitude that gets you up there.
Nice.
Thanks.
How you been, man? It feels like it's been a while since I've talked to you, even though it's
I know. Been I've been off the grid. I was mm-hmm. I had a work staff retreat. It's a company-wide retreat.
Good.
Sunday night through yesterday, basically. And then I have work today and tomorrow. So it's just been a very, very, very busy week. Because I didn't have time to do my work during the day because we were doing company staff stuff during the day. So then I had to do my work at night and in the mornings. So it was just like basically from Sunday at noon until like 4 p.m. today, I was in work mode.
Dang.
Yeah. And then I got to play soccer with my son and it was electric.
Oh, so good. So
it was amazing.
Having kids is actually the best. Like they make things, most things harder. But mm-hmm. they make life easier. Does that make sense?
They do. Yes. 100%. So I've been out. I don't know. I watched the – I had the greatest live TV moment that I've ever had.
Yeah.
I'm watching the inauguration parade and Trump's giving his speech and he says, "And I've got a very tall son." And Barron stands up and everybody claps and he puts his hand to his ear. I saw God, dude, in that moment. I was like, this is the exact, it's the perfect thing that you could have done in that moment. And you just nailed it. Oh, it made me laugh so hard. I was like, this guy, I've already casted my vote.
The reason why Trump didn't win in 2020 was because his son was a stupid little 14-year-old, but now he's a based 18-year-old. He knows what's going on.
You know that picture of him yelling at him when he's mowing the yard? Do you know which picture I'm talking about?
No. Pull it up.
Okay.
He made Barron mow the yard?
He made Barron mow the yard, and this is so funny.
That's awesome.
I cannot believe you have never seen this photograph. all right, hold on. I'm having some open image in new tab. Why is this so difficult for you people? All right. There it is. Ready? Sharing my screen. If you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out.
Oh, he's so small.
He's such a little guy. He was so short back then.
That's so funny.
Why are you yelling at him, Donald?
Poor guy, man.
This is what it's like when it's like time to record the podcast and I'm like, "Patrick, log on," and you're like, "I'm on my way."
I'm coming,
that's
man. It's cool that he had to mow the lawn. That's funny.
Yeah.
You're like, "You're Imagine, an American kid, you need to mow the lawn."
Dad, can I have a paper route? I have a better idea.
Mow the lawn.
What's been going on with you? How have you been?
Oh, you know me. I've been, you know,
wheeling and dealing.
What have I even been doing? Yeah, I've been having a great time. Work's been good. In a good routine. I think I can't complain. You know, things are just going really well.
That's delightfully vague.
We got things going with the crunch. I'm looking forward to. I've made no progress on that, even though I have a big old thing.
Did you get in touch with that guy that I sent you the contact?
No, that's like the one thing I had to do, and I didn't do it.
You were all up in my butt. Like, we got to get this going. Give me the contact of the guy, and I was like, all right.
And then I just didn't do it. My bad.
You didn't do it.
Man, you guys are gonna love it. Everybody I've talked to about the rebrand 5.0, according to Ben, it's been five times. Everyone that I've talked to about rebrand 5.0 is like, this is great.
I talked to James McCann about it today. He was very excited for us. He wants to come back on. I told him he could potentially be the first one. The first one of the
first
rebrand.
One back. We're first of all, I'm bigger on Twitter than I've ever been. People follow me now.
Yeah.
So I can slide into the DMs of people that if we had on the show, it would be crazy. And so we need to get the show ready.
Yeah.
We're gonna get Father Calvin on the show.
He replied to my tweet today. He replied to my tweet. He said based with my post.
He's a fun guy. He's a fun guy. I like him. We're gonna get Michael Knowles on the cast.
Yeah?
No, I don't think so. But
should we wear sweaters and smoke cigars and kind of talk like this and be generally confused at what the liberals are doing?
I think that's Ben Shapiro that you're doing an imitation
of.
Michael Knowles says because a lot. He says it like that.
I don't watch a lot of Michael Knowles because it's the same problem I have with a lot of Catholic accounts, which is it's just like agreement bait, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I know I agree 100% with whatever he's going to say, and I don't want to just listen to that
to someone all the time.
Just like confirming my own opinions. Like, I would rather listen to a comedian that's really funny that I disagree with, because then at least I'm getting some different ideas in my brain of how other people think about things instead of just like the same thing on repeat all the time. Which is why I like talking to you, because you're a liberal and you are a communist. And you read Ibram X. Kendi 5 years ago, and you tried to convince me to be an anti-racist, and I was for about 4 minutes, and then I decided that I didn't want to be anymore.
I've been listening back to my 2020 phase. yeah. to see if I was cringe in case someone
no one held his fist up in the air more often for George Floyd than you.
Oh my gosh. 5 years ago. You know what? Most people posted the black square one day. I posted it every day. Okay. Most people drove their car into a group of protesters once. I did it 5 times. Sorry, what?
Most people rioted and looted once, but I did it hundreds
of times.
How do
you think I got this Apple Watch? Anyway,
imagine going on a riot and a loot and getting an Apple Watch. What a waste of time. You could get a 40 ounce of malt liquor. You know, or you get a little thick, little titanium plastic square that tells you that you're fat and lazy.
Yeah,
you gotta go like this.
The unofficial habit of the focus missionary. That's what I've always said.
Miserable.
There is no reason for most people to have an Apple Watch. That's my hot take. Very few people actually need an Apple Watch. Do you agree with me or disagree with me?
You see that post on X the other day about the guy and his son wearing the Apple Watch at night?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? We'll talk about it in the bonus podcast because it's a little spicy for the main show.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
I did see that.
That's crazy.
If you saw it, you know. If you didn't, you don't want to know.
Check it out on the bonus podcast. I don't think anybody needs an Apple Watch because nobody does. Maybe some people listen to music on it, I guess. But like what... It doesn't really tell the time. All it tells you is that you have a text that you can't fully read. And then you just look at your phone anyway. Yeah. Nobody checks the time on the Apple Watch. So to me, it's like it fails as a watch. It fails as a smart device. All it is it's a fitness band, really. And you could get a 9 times better fitness band from Garmin than you can get from Apple because it was actually designed for fitness instead of designed to look like you have money.
Yes, it's unfortunate. You know, there's a walkie-talkie function.
Yeah, that's cool. Now you should have led with that.
It's like a constant phone call. I understand why. Like, I understand why maybe on-call priests have it or doctors.
That's fair. I like that.
That kind of thing.
Because it wakes you up if it like rings. You know.
Yeah, but like I'm in. I have a sales job, which isn't necessarily like you should have your phone on you generally during the workday in case you get an inbound thing or a client needs something. Generally, you should be responsive. And I don't have an Apple Watch. I've never felt the need to have one.
Yeah. Emma had one a while when she was a nurse, which made some amount of sense because she couldn't have her phone with her sometimes.
Yeah, makes sense. So
if she needed to like check a text or whatever, and she can't pull her phone out because it's contaminated. Because she got a dirty phone. Because she gross.
Are we Manosphere podcasters now where we talk about our wives?
The thing about women is, I had a really funny, never mind. I can't say that on the main show either. We'll talk about that later.
We're censoring ourselves.
It's good.
Speaking of being a liberal.
Oh no.
I want to talk about the United States Council of Catholic Bishops.
You want to wade in to the beef.
Yes.
You want to get the bishops mad. On the precipice of our great rebrand where we're going to have all these wonderful people on our show, you'd like to get canceled by the USCCB.
I think that talking bad about the USCCB is probably the safest thing to do in the American Catholic Church. Do you know why? And
yeah,
they can
prove me
wrong. They can prove me wrong by canceling. Post on the Twitter. Yeah. This Patrick Nevy is seditious. He's worse than Taylor Marshall and Bishop whatever from Tyler combined. This guy sucks. Prove it. They do not listen or care.
That would make you blow up if they tweeted that. If they tweeted Patrick Nevy is seditious, that would be your new. That could be your new. You could just take. That'd be like rigid. You know, like that'd be your new calling card.
Exactly.
Seditious Pat. Yeah.
My problem with the USCCB,
Pat's seditious.
It's a positive. It's a win-win because my problem with the USCCB is precisely why it's okay for me to criticize the USCCB is that they do not listen to the church or people in the church.
What do you mean they don't listen?
So everyone knows that the immigration thing is a hot button issue, and everyone knows that Catholics are supposed to be like, well, the Democrats are bad on abortion and the Republicans are bad on immigration, and we're supposed to say that. It's, and I've said that before, and I think at one point that was true. The campaign of Donald Trump in 2016 was different than the campaign of Donald Trump in 2024. It was like,
yeah, build the wall is different than mass deportations now. Those are two slightly different.
The vibe is different, and it's because the country is different. It's because that in between 2016 and 2024, in the last, you know, in the years, specifically the last 4 years, that last 8 years, big and important things happened that changed people's minds. And this is my point. So the bishops released
Squid Game came out.
Yeah, exactly. Squid Game 2, Squid Mr. Game Beast 2 came game. Out. A lot of
Mr.
Games,
Beast version
actually.
Of Squid Game. Mr. We got to watch Beast Games. Babe, we got to watch Beast Games tonight.
Should I don't. In there. I haven't seen any of Beast Games.
No, we've been watching Beast Games.
Oh, cool.
Lil Yachty comes out. I told you.
I heard about that. I heard about that from you. The bishops released a statement about Donald Trump's executive order sending people home.
Mm-hmm.
And to put it, I guess, diplomatically.
Yes.
And the Bishop of El Paso, who's the chairman of the USCCB Committee on Immigration, he had an interview, and I bookmarked the interview. If you want to play it on the podcast, I can send it to you.
Yeah, send it to Ryan.
Okay.
Oh, you want to, or do you want to play it right now live?
Do you want to play? Yeah, I want to play it because I think it illustrates my point. So I'm going to send it to you via Twitter DMs, and it's just been sent.
Okay. I don't know if I'm logged in.
Oh, he's not logged in, boys. I'll send it to you via text message.
Can you just put it? Can you put it in the chat here on this app that we use to record?
Okay. Yes, I can do that. I think I can also just share my screen. I'm going to go to X the Everything app. Where are my bookmarks?
Take your time. Whatever you do. So this was a recent interview from a bishop talking about immigration.
It appears to be a recent interview. It could be a not recent interview, but they posted it yesterday.
Okay. The official USCCB account or like a news outlet?
The official USCCB account posted it yesterday. Yeah. Boom. There we go. Share. Here we are. All right. Great. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Oh, it's only a minute and a half.
Okay. Tendency in our country to see everything through a political lens. We are not politicians, we're pastors. Our lens is the gospel. Our lens is the teaching of our church. And we've been called to do this work on behalf of the people of God, which includes every human being. I think this is a time for us to reassert our particular role in the midst of a world that we believe desperately needs God, desperately needs the insight that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will continue to announce that, as the scriptures say, in season and out. And a lot of times it's not popular. We're not doing it because we want some kind of political power, but rather because we want to announce the good news that Jesus brings about the dignity of every person. And these things have something to say to our society as well about what will make us a healthy society, a society in which the vulnerable are cared for, not just the wealthy and the powerful, a society in which everyone is respected and loved and treated with a kind of awareness of their special dignity as children of God.
Okay, so this was the video that the USCCB decided to use to kind of illustrate the church's position on illegal immigration on X. Yes.
Okay.
Did you kind of get the point of what the USCCB's position is on immigration? Can you like explain it concisely?
Yeah, I would kind of say that this is par for the course in terms of bishops talking about stuff, which is it's meaningless word salad about the gospel and about how we need to care for the other, but no practical or real, there's no meat on them bones.
Yes,
unfortunately.
Exactly.
All respect to the bishop. I'm sure he's a wonderful, I'm not accusing him of being unintelligent or not holy, but that was, he said it was like, oh, we're not politicians. And he gave a 90-second answer that sounded exactly like what a politician would say,
which
is just a complete non-answer, you know?
And so I think this is my problem with the USCCB, right? He says we're so called to build a society that protects not just the wealthy, but also the poor. And that displays a lack of understanding of why the majority of Americans voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
For some reason, this issue in particular was so popular that he signed it day one in an arena full of people. Do you know how often executive orders are signed in arenas? Not often.
I think this might be the first time.
It was kind of theatrical. And this is what I mean, is that the bishops, it displays a problem that I think goes all the way to the top, which is just a lack of understanding of the people. A lack of understanding of the people that you're supposed to be serving. He calls himself a pastor, and yet he didn't quote a single conversation that he's had with a person that he knows and has spoken to about why people aren't being treated with dignity. So the actual statement from the USCCB on this issue, they linked to it in the tweet. And this was it was a statement by Bishop Broglio, the president. Oh, sorry, no, following the statement, Bishop Mark Seitz of El Paso issued a statement saying similar. The Catholic Church is committed to defending the sanctity of every human life. We urge President Trump to pivot from enforcement-only policies to just and merciful solutions, working with Congress in good faith to achieve meaningful bipartisan immigration reform that furthers the common good. And he also says, this is what it was. He actually says here what policies he wants. So to his credit, he actually does say this at some point. Open-ended deployment of military is wrong. To enforce civil immigration is wrong. Policies except for the ones about human trafficking have failed to reduce migration in a legal and sustainable manner. And I should have highlighted this part. It seems, based on their statement, the bishop's statement is that, the use of sweeping generalizations to denigrate a group, such as describing all undocumented immigrants as criminals and invaders, is contrary to their human dignity. So that's the main problem that the USCCB has. And the problem is, they have a... Go ahead.
Finish what your thought was.
To which I say, have you spoken with people who are pro this policy? Are they sweepingly referring to illegal immigrants as criminals and invaders?
I mean, I am.
I mean,
if you're an illegal immigrant, you are default a criminal.
I know that's something that I mentioned to a friend where someone was like, "There's a statistic that is dubious, but it's a statistic that illegal immigrants commit crimes at a higher rate than legal immigrants."
Yeah.
And someone was saying that it's not true. And I was like, I think definitionally it is true.
It has to be true.
Because there's illegal immigrants commit crime at a lower rate than American citizens. That's not possible because they have all committed at least one crime.
Yes.
Which is entering the country legally. Barring that one, maybe you're right.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Catholic men, if you want to be a great man, you have to know yourself first. And I will admit, I used to think I knew myself pretty well until I did Exodus 90. I thought that giving up social media would be hard because I love tweeting. However, it was television that was hard for me, honestly, because I admit I watch The Office on my phone while I'm getting ready and doing things. And so when I had to give up television and I had to sit in silence, I was like, oh no, I have to be alone with my thoughts. That's terrifying. But it was good because I got to talk to God more, and also my wife, the two people who are the most important in my life. At that point, the only two people that were important in my life, Leo had not yet been born. So when I did Exodus 90 in 2022, I was able to reconnect with my wife, reconnect with my God, and prepare the way for my little bundle of joy who is potty training now. So pray for us. All that is to say, if you've been considering doing Exodus 90 every single year for the last like 10 years, now is your time to do it, okay? Stop pussyfooting around, which is something you can say on a non-explicit podcast because that is a word, pussyfoot. Stop pussyfooting around and go to exodus90.com/crunch, exodus90.com/crunch, and get a 14-day free trial of their mobile app that is essential to the experience of Exodus 90. Trust me on that. Don't wait, because Exodus 90 starts on January 20th. Hop in that cold shower and give up all non-essential things in your life except for this podcast, which, as you know, is the most essential thing in your life. Thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring another episode of The Crunch Bagel. I hope this ad was funny. All right, man, listen, I try my best. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Now back to your regularly scheduled crunching.
I also think it is you're kind of giving up the game a little bit by saying, by claiming, like, just because someone is a criminal doesn't mean that they are evil or irredeemable or any of that. Mm-hmm. It's just calling a thing what it is. If you steal to feed your kid, you might be a good person, but you're still a criminal, you know, because you've committed a crime.
You still perhaps have human dignity and ought to be treated right.
Absolutely,
justice.
I don't think I think it's not genuine. It is a lack of honest dialogue to come out swinging like this and say the people who are calling illegal immigrants criminals don't care for or value or uphold the human dignity of the criminals. Can I just turn for a second to another page on the USCCB's website? May I do this, please?
Please?
I'm going to read this. This is the USCCB Catholic Social Teaching page on immigration. It has three principles. The first principle is people have the right to migrate to sustain their lives and the lives of their families. 100%, right? I think if your home is being bombed and war-torn or there's famine, you got to take care of your family, so you got to move. Right, it's not inherently wrong to migrate if you have to migrate. Same thing, like if you're living on pennies a day, and there's a place where you can go to make more money to provide for your family, then you should try to get there. It makes sense, right?
I'm on board.
Here's the second principle: a country has the right to regulate its borders and to control immigration. I'm going to read directly from this paragraph. While individuals have the right to move in search of a safe and humane life, no country is bound to accept all those who wish to resettle there. By this principle, the Church recognizes that most immigration is ultimately not something to celebrate. Ordinarily, people do not leave the security of their own land and culture just to seek adventure in a new place or merely enhance their standard of living. Instead, they migrate because they are desperate, and the opportunity for a safe and secure life does not exist in their own land. Immigrants and refugees endure many hardships and often long for the homes they left behind. As Americans, we should cherish and celebrate the contributions of immigrants and their cultures. However, we should work to make it unnecessary for people to leave their own land. And this is just about legal immigrants, right? This has nothing to do with illegal immigrants.
Based on a plain text reading of that text, it would be mm-hmm. okay and permissible for Donald Trump to say, actually, we're not taking anybody else
mm-hmm.
anymore. Sorry.
Yes, because immigration is not inherently a good thing. It's this very odd, it must be, I don't know if it's modernism or what it is, But the distinction that the bishop drew between politics and the practice of the gospel, yes, and being a pastor is, it also kind of gives up his worldview.
Yeah. There were quite a few things in there that gave up the game. For instance, referring to the people as God, the people of God is all people. That is technically incorrect. The people of God are...
What's the technical truth of that, Patrick?
Baptized people.
The baptized
people.
People
of God, unfortunately.
Right.
Would that all nations
everyone has
were baptized.
Human dignity. Everyone has human dignity. Everyone is created by God. But not everybody is a member of the people of God.
Right.
Which is really hard for people to accept for some reason. It's like the whole reason that evangelization exists. And then you might be sitting in your head, well, why shouldn't we bring a bunch of unbaptized people into the country so that we can evangelize them? Well, lots of reasons, actually. The other thing, the distinction between the wealthy and the poor, right? Actually, mass immigration doesn't really affect the wealthy all that much.
No.
Because the wealthy are living in places. I spent the last week in Naples, Florida.
No illegal immigration in Naples, Florida.
Not a lot really to speak of at all. I went to a Cuban restaurant and I think the woman had an accent, you know, but the food was good. But I'm seeing Bentleys and Ferraris. I'm seeing all these. This is very bougie, very nice place. That's how it would be for the wealthy no matter what. They would just build walls or move somewhere else, mm-hmm, because that's the privilege of the wealthy, is they don't have to deal. It doesn't affect them in any meaningful way.
Yes.
So this immigration is not like, oh, the wealthy don't want immigrants to come. It's actually the people who are poor don't want the immigrants to come, because the people who are poor are getting further and further outcast and pushed down by the pressures of housing, by the pressures of the labor market, by the pressures of just demographics, right? Like if you are trying to have a family and you're trying to raise them a certain way and all these people are moving in to your neighborhood and they're all raising their kids different ways and they're all living different ways and their view of marriage and family is different than what your view of marriage and family is, it's going to be really difficult to have a path forward, have a pathway out of that. So it really does, to your point earlier, it's like this bishop doesn't know what's going on with people who don't live in a rectory that has a maid and doesn't have a car with a deacon that drives him around. You know, like bishops are great, right? But they are, frankly, very disconnected from what's going
on. And in a real way, their lives, while not being technically wealthy, mirror the lives of the wealthy. They typically want for nothing.
Everyone defers to them in a room.
Mm-hmm. They are by nature out of touch. And
yes,
in a sense, this is good. In another sense, it is bad. We don't necessarily want the bishops to like be, you know, listening to the Daily Wire, like let's say. Like we don't want bishops like listening to political talk radio. You know what I mean? Like
do we want anyone listening to the Daily Wire?
Like the Israeli Daily
Wire. Does anyone else think that Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles should start their own Catholic media company?
I think that they should. Not.
If I see that take one more time, I'm gonna
jump out of a window. Actually,
I'm gonna jump out of a second. I'm gonna non-lethally jump out of a second story window.
You know, you can go all the way up to 8. Apparently, yeah. I think it's by design that bishops are like this because they need to be kind of out of the world. And we're supposed to have our one foot in the world and one foot in the church as the laity. However, I really wish they would stay in their lane a little bit, you know, because it's clear. I don't see any malice in the bishops. And I know that the right is very quick to denigrate the USCCB or talk badly about them and assume they're just part of the liberal establishment. I always defer to, I assume people are working in operating in good faith. And I think the bishops are operating in good faith. I think they're just operating off of old information. These are people who have, you know, if you become a bishop, I think we would do well to remember the pathway to becoming a bishop. The pathway to become a bishop does not begin as being the parochial vicar of a parish. The pathway to becoming a bishop is not you're the pastor. You know, the pathway to becoming a bishop is you're you go to study in Rome to get your doctorate, and then you work in the chancery as the secretary of whatever, and then you become a vicar general for the diocese, and then you get chosen to be a bishop somewhere else. Like, you've maybe had your only time meeting the people of God was as a 1 year transitional deacon at your, you know, at a parish, you mm-hmm. know, and that was your mm-hmm. pastoral formation.
And maybe when you're vicar general, you're also pastor, but you're so busy dealing with all that, like you delegate everything to your
parochial associate vicar, anyway. Or your secretary.
Your parochial. Yeah. Yeah. It's just,
it's
yeah.
Yes. And that's the life of a bishop. And so we have to recognize that these guys who are bishops and they're, you know, getting up there, they're getting 70, they're getting to 75. They were ordained a priest, you know, 50 years ago. They haven't talked right. to a normal person since 1975, you know? So they don't
buy their own groceries. Like, you have to understand this. Like, they don't go to the store.
That's true.
They're not,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like the big meme is like the price of eggs. But like, they legitimately don't know. Like, if you asked a bishop, how much does a gallon of milk cost, which is one of my favorite scenes from the TV show Succession, is this Logan Roy, the billionaire, you know, mm-hmm. patriarch of this media company and his spoiled children. Despite being this like billionaire guy, Logan Roy has always been connected with the common man, which makes him such a compelling figure. It's because he was born in like massive poverty in Scotland and built this huge empire. And he asks his kids, how much is a gallon of milk? And they have no idea. They're like, they refuse to answer because they're so embarrassed because they have no clue, which it's kind of the same thing with these bishops. Like, if you go up to, I want to go to the USCCB and be like, can anybody here tell me
how much a gallon of milk costs?
Yeah. Please. They'll probably say something like $2, which is just not true. Mm-hmm. Gallon milk's like $4.50, you know, if you're getting the good milk, you know, $5, $6 could be.
And it's just, in Florida right now is $4.60.
That's crazy.
Bacon is cheaper than eggs right now. Something about ABS. I don't know.
And they don't see the demoralization of like a young kid who grows up maybe lower middle class, goes to college, gets a tech degree, but like can't get a job because of H-1B. Workers, mm-hmm. you know, can't get a job in IT, can't get a job as a programmer. This thing that forever, everyone was like, if you do this, you'll have a job forever because everyone's going to need help with computers. And then they're stuck, you know, they don't know what to do. It's like, that's the story of so many people right now, is that they are massively in debt, massively underemployed because they were lied to. And then the thing you were talking about before the show started, Obama brings just like grants citizenship to like 20 million more people or however many.
I don't know how it was.
And the numbers of our country are just exploding and people are coming here left, right, and center, taking the low and mid tier jobs that are available in the country, or they're being outsourced across the ocean. And the bishops are like, well, what we really need to do is we need to like treat people with dignity, which I agree is the Christian call. But like when you're trying to take care of your family, like you have to understand that there are people that they like want to work and they're not able to. They want to have safety and security and they don't have it. And so it's like, yeah, I guess I could just sit here and like let my life slowly be destroyed by these larger forces. Or I could vote for someone who's saying, I see you, I understand you, I'm going to get rid of that thing that's slowly destroying your life. Mm-hmm. And the bishops are like, that seems mean. To me.
That's the thrust of the argument. They have some quibbles about, you know, oh, you shouldn't use the military to enforce civil immigration. Well, now it's not civil because he declared the cartels a foreign terrorist organization. So that little loophole. But like, I guess I understand they want to avoid the demonization of the abuela at her empanada table. They don't want that lady deported. I get it. I understand.
They don't want people deported at church. They want people to be able to go to church and feel safe. Totally fair.
We don't.
I don't think you should deport people when they're at church. Can I just say, I'll go on record and say that.
I agree. I don't think we should be raiding churches and schools and deporting people while they're going about their business. I think we should do it in the dead of night. I'm just kidding. No, I think you should do it. Anyway. But it's an issue, right? It's like the issue mm-hmm. is it's especially tone deaf because from the moment Trump signed that executive order for the last 3 days, he's been in office. All of the news stories in the Boston ICE raids, and those are the main ones that I've heard, are like, hey, we just picked up this guy who has 17 convictions, not charges, convictions, mm-hmm. and he's out on the streets. This guy's been wanted by Interpol for years. This other guy's been wanted by Interpol for years. We picked him up. We're deporting him. It's like those are the
imagine how bad you have to be wanted by Interpol. The Europeans are so lazy that if you're on the wanted list for a European agency, you must have really messed
up. Yeah, it's crazy. If for American ICE to
pick you up. The FBI, you breathe wrong. The FBI is like, get him.
Put him in jail. You know? But the crazy thing is like those are the news stories that have been coming out. And the bishops are like, we need to help the vulnerable. That I want to know what the bishops think we should do about that guy who's mm-hmm. like, I just love stabbing and I don't want to do it in Haiti. I want to do it in Boston.
I genuinely think they would give you more word salad that ultimately concluded in we should allow him to stay here.
Yeah.
Because there's this belief for anyone over the age of 50 that everyone has the right to be an American, which is just bonkers. It's just bonkers. Like, we have it so... I get it. We have it so good here. Nope, that's not lost on me. How amazing it is to live in this country.
I would like to keep it that
way. I'm grateful for it every day.
I want to keep it really good here.
What's more magnanimous is, like, saying, everybody come here and take my thing that's beautiful and amazing and make it garbage? Or what if we stayed beautiful and amazing and helped everybody else go from garbage to at least not garbage? Mm-hmm. Which one is better, you know? Obviously the second one, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that immigrants are garbage, but overall, like, lowering the ability of a country to be excellent because you're being weighed down through taxation or like all the tax money that's going to these people and all of the government services that have to be provided to these people and all of the jobs that are being stolen from people who actually live here and all the homes that are being taken away from people that actually live here. Like, these are all recipes for causing a nation to decline.
Yeah, you have that on the one hand of like the massive amount of people that are coming in. It's like, how many people per year do you think we should allow in the United States? Ethan, how many people do you
think? I don't know, like total?
Yeah. Like every new immigrants coming in, how many people do you think?
That like live here permanently, not like on a short-term visa?
Yeah.
I would say 200,000.
That's crazy because it's like we let in like 1 million to 2 million people a year. It's like 10 times the amount that you said. if most people will give a number that's like the size of Pittsburgh, like let's let Pittsburgh in every year. But what's happening is Dallas is being let in every year. Like, that's how you got to look at it. It's like, can we sustain Dallas every year for a decade without losing what America is? And the answer is no. The answer is no, because it's actually unjust. And this is the problem that I don't think the bishop saw, is that he assumes justice means let them live here.
Right.
But it is an act of justice to send a criminal to prison, to send them back where they came from. It is an act of justice to make sure that an immigration process is thorough, because Abuelita can't come here. And if it's not here anymore, if America has the same criminal to citizen ratio as Mexico, it's going to be a problem. Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
I got my little blue
little
snorkel.
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming? I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you, even if they think you're the worst person on the planet. They have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach, and so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
And this is the other thing. There's some parts of Mexico that are super nice. According to my aunt, my aunt-in-law, Merida is safer than Melbourne, Florida, based on crime statistics. Mexico is not like this horribly falling apart country. That's one piece. There's a volume issue. And then there's also a quality issue. Which is the main thing that the executive order, if you read the executive order, it authorizes military action against cartels. A lot of people who come over here have to use the cartels to bring them over. And typically those criminal organizations are not nice to the vulnerable people.
Yeah. Yes.
That's another piece of this that they're not. They're assuming that everyone just kind of walking across the border like they're going to Disney for the weekend. But it's like they're being shoved in trucks by men who have probably violated them. I don't know. It's frustrating. I think that they're attempting nuance, but they're just being completely. They're out of touch with what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a response to Nietzsche, where people are just afraid of like strength and power, you know, because his whole thing was like, that's everything, right? If you're strong and you're powerful, then you have a right to rule. You have the right to be in charge, which is not so much the Western way of thinking. The Western way of thinking is let the people decide, you know, give people freedom. And if you give them freedom, then they will choose what is virtuous, vaguely. At least that was the thought 300 years ago or 400 years ago.
They were close. Those sweet summer children.
It lasted for like a decade. You know, it was a good decade. It was great.
The '80s.
Oh, I miss the '80s, dude. I was so good at the '80s. I was doing coke. I was trading stocks. I was returning videotapes.
I don't think that movie took place in the '80s.
Was it? It was the '80s.
No, they didn't have videotapes back then.
I have to return some videotapes. Oh, I guess it took place in 2000.
Yeah.
It was based on so the book was written in 1991, so it's not that far off.
Based on the '80s.
It's 1987. In 1987, New York City investment banker Patrick Bateman spends most of his time dining at popular restaurants.
Did they have videotapes in the '80s?
I'm not.
Katie Ruby's gonna make fun of me for that.
I know someone's gonna make fun of me. Call my dad. Hey, Dad. Were you still listening to the radio in 1987?
Anyway,
for your plays, your stories. What was I? I was saying something. Oh, this idea that power is bad. Which I agree, power is a temptation, right? It can become bad. But I look at what America is, and I think there's something that we have that other countries don't have in terms of being a superpower. Like, if you think about who you would want to be in charge more, it's like, would you rather pick the United States or would you pick China? I think it's just a very obvious choice in terms of what leads to the most human flourishing. And so in my opinion, it's like, we're so attached to this, like, post-World War II, like, the world is in stasis. Nothing can change. I guess maybe post-fall of the Soviet Union. Like, everything kind of has to stay as it is. Because if we were to expand or if we were to exert more influence, like, the only way that America can exert influence is, like, for economic reasons. So, like, we can wage war in the Gulf or we can invade Iraq because we got attacked by Saudi Arabians. Still don't really understand that one. But it's like, we ought to take over Mexico. We ought to get rid of the cartels. We ought to stop the flow of drugs into our country.
We ought to make Mexico a safer place.
We ought to take Canada. We ought to get rid of the fact that they're killing people because they are lonely and sad, and they're doing transgender surgeries on kids. You know, like, there's so many things that we could do because we are strong and powerful that would ultimately benefit more people. And I think the bishops are, like, in this place where they're still stuck on this, like, post-Cold War version of America, which, like, is good and we won and everything should stay this way because we won. And it's like, well, no, because evil is still happening. Like, evil didn't stop when the Soviet Union collapsed.
We should have done what happened when, like, we won World War II, which is be like, everyone trades on our dollar now. That's what we should have done. We should have been like, we actually own the Suez Canal too. That's what we should have done after the Cold War.
But because we, like, stopped and we just slowed down, everything has just progressively gotten worse. There's more drugs. There's more crime. There's more moral degradation. There's less Christianity. I'm not saying all those things are tied together to the same one person, the same one reason, but there's been a clear decline. Mm-hmm. And so, to, like, stick your head in the sand and be like, well, none of that is real. You guys just aren't Christian enough. It's like, well, like, everybody just kind of wants to live in a way where they can take care of their families and then actually, like, live out the gospel. But instead, what we're having to do is, like, fight tooth and nail every single day to afford what we need to afford because of all these other things that we could vote to change. Yes. And then you're making me feel guilty for voting that way. Mm-hmm.
I remember a priest when the Ukraine war started. I remember the vaguely left leaning priest was talking about how he was mad because he knew that people were going to start complaining when gas prices went up. And I was like, yeah, but, like, isn't that a fine thing to be upset about? Gas, the thing that we use to get to work, to make money, to feed our families. Like, isn't it?
It's that Norm MacDonald tweet. It's like, I don't want any terrorist attacks to happen because imagine the backlash against peaceful
Muslims.
Exactly.
It's like you're mad about the wrong thing. It's like maybe we shouldn't have our. I'm upset that our fuel is tied to whether or not Russia behaves. That's what I'm upset about. That we should have fixed that a while ago. It's like the wildfires thing in California. It's like, hey, wait a second. It was your job to make sure this didn't happen. This is a preventable and foreseeable problem, an unforced error. Why did you do this? Or why did you not do this? Anyway, yeah, I think there's always been a balance in America between isolationism and globalism. And I think there's a balance here between the two, which is we're not isolationists. We have a responsibility to the world. However, what is that responsibility? That's the argument. What is the responsibility? That's not the argument. That's the question. What is our responsibility to the world? Is it to let everybody come here? No. Is it to send them all of our money? No. It's got to be something else. There's other ways to be influential. And I think Nietzsche was right about how some Christians approach Christianity. Is it's the slave morality of being weak is being good. But that's not, Jesus didn't call us to be weak. He called us to be meek, and that's different.
Right.
Because Christ knew that asserting your power, this is where Nietzsche was wrong, constantly asserting your power is a show of weakness. You know, the little scrawny kid in middle school needs to talk a big game about how he's going to beat up the bully or sue the school, like because he's impotent, he doesn't have any power. But the man of power can just say, let me be clear, you are going to return the hostages, and then before he's even the president, they'll come back. Like that's what power is. Like that is, ironically, for Donald Trump, that is meekness. You know, that's like this needs to happen, and it happens. It's frustrating because I think power makes people, power and fame and money make people afraid because they're afraid that people will abuse them, because people will, and they think that because people abuse them, they're inherently bad things, but they're not inherently bad things.
Right.
They just, you just really need to not. Anyway, last thing I'll end on.
Yeah.
Someone posted a meme. It was like the Home Depot, but they put Deport. They put the Deport Depot. And I was like, that's the worst way you could have delivered that joke.
What about the Home Depot?
Exactly. Or the Go Home Depot. Come on. For a depot, it turning into Deport is easy. You just add a letter and then you just add G-O, Go Home Depot. It was like the Deport Depot. Come on. Come on. You can do better than that.
What are we doing?
Get out
what
of here with doing? That. The rest of the show continues.
I had something to say about what you said. Just the weakness and the slave morality. What did you say before that? You said that before Nietzsche. Did you say something else?
Nietzsche was right, and slave morality. Nietzsche was right. We're afraid of power. I don't remember. Sorry.
That's all right. It's lost. That's okay. Maybe I'll remember it on the bonus show. But it's a good discussion. I was talking about like the British Empire back in the day when they expanded. There's a lot to be said about the British Empire, but pretty much everywhere they went, they brought like civilization, laws, sanitation, goods and services. Like they civilized all the places that they went to. They weren't just like conquering
for no reason.
Just to have slaves. They like were making places like England, you know. Which can be good and bad, right? I'm reading this biography about Napoleon. Napoleon's taken over Italy and he's instituting like anti-Catholic republican governments. And so like, obviously there can be, it can go wrong, you know, and certainly it went wrong with the British too. Clearly I'm thinking of the rape of Nanking.
Not a big fan.
You know, not a big fan. And so I think there's certainly risks to being an empire. We've seen it time and time again. But it's not inherently bad to be an empire.
No.
What we really need is a kingdom, unfortunately. That's kind of where this all falls apart, is that we don't really have like a model of government that makes sense for expansion. Like it's weird to like swear fealty to a democracy.
Yes.
You know, like you can't, like Mexico can't say, all right, the American people, we trust you.
Yeah.
Because it's 330 million people. But it's different if it's like, if there's a king, right? It's like, oh, him I trust, you know?
Or like the idea of the American emperor. You probably hit the nail on the head on why the liberal world order has such a problem with immigration. Because the only way to swear fealty to your empire is, because we are the imperial capital of the world, the only way to swear fealty is to become one of the only way to actually join the empire that you're de facto a part of, because you consume all of our media, you consume all of our products, you make things
you
for
use
us,
our dollar.
You use our dollar. It's hard. It's
You remember when we went to Jericho and SpongeBob was there?
That was crazy.
You know what I mean? It's like insane. Like we're halfway across the world in the hottest desert in the Middle East, and SpongeBob is there, and it's like
total American.
Why is SpongeBob here?
The biggest America pill for me, and I've said this on the podcast before, but it bears repeating, is there's a sign outside of the walls of Jericho, you know, the ones from the story, and they put them back up, which God said not to do. And there's a big sign that says Jericho, oldest continuously inhabited city in the world since 6000 BC. And that is correct and true. Oldest inhabited city in the world. This is a 8,000-year-old city. And right below that sign, enjoy Coca-Cola. The juxtaposition was too much for me. I laughed out loud. I was like, that's insane that they even allowed that. How much do you think Coca-Cola pays for that sponsorship? The city?
Probably $6.
It's especially incredible because Jericho is the biblical and global symbol for the city of man. If you're unfamiliar with this, it's the lowest city in the world. Also, it's the only lower, the next lowest point is the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point. So it's the Dead Sea, Jericho, and then Jerusalem. And so the Good Samaritan is going, the guy who gets robbed is going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and that's symbolic. But yes, so Jericho is the city of man, and in it is Coca-Cola and SpongeBob. And like 50
The Dead
Christians.
Sea sucks, by the way.
What?
Nobody talks about this, but the Dead Sea sucks. It's hot.
Make sure.
You got to walk down this hill to get there.
People got so...
The drinks aren't free. The drinks should be free at the Dead Sea. Can I say that?
People got so mad at me.
I would rather pay an entrance fee. I'll pay $20, but just give me 2 drink tokens, you know?
they had a bar near the bottom of the Dead Sea, which said the lowest bar in the world. Bar. And so I took a picture and posted it on Twitter. I got a lot of trouble because I said Catholic girls when they hit 30. Single Catholic girls when they hit 30. Why would you tweet that? That's so insensitive. Because it's so funny. That's why. Because
it's really funny. The lowest. All right, we got to go over to the bonus podcast. Thank you guys for coming to our discussion, our nuanced and intelligent discussion about immigration. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Tune in next week when I talk about something even more controversial. Transgenderism.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next time.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.